Pretty good song, right? To do something. If you look at listen to the lyrics that Matthew West actually sung in the beginning, you know, talk about poverty, talking about slavery and stuff like that. It still goes on today. I know some of y'all have seen The Sound of Freedom. That was actually made in 2012. Didn't get released until recently, but it doesn't end just because it happened that year. It doesn't end because some kids were saved. It's constant. You see people coming missing each and every day on the actual, you know, missing across the United States. You hear about kids disappearing, never to be found. They don't just disappear sometimes. Sometimes they're taken. And it's hard to digest that at times. But same thing with poverty when you think about it. There's a lot of people still struggling. You know, I know they say inflation's going down and so forth like that. It's still going. It doesn't change anything. So people still can't afford groceries. People still go to sleep hungry at night. And I chose that song, I heard it on the radio at the time, and I was like, oh, this would be perfect for my sermon. And talking to Valerie about it, I was hoping, I know it's some high notes to hit, so I was like, I don't know if we got anybody. But she's like, let me just play the video with the lyrics. I think that would be good as well. But choosing that song, I had it in my mind what I was going to talk about and what I was going to preach about. And then today we're going to talk about mission mindset and what that truly means. Last week we had the Cheesedales, right? Jason and his family were here. He spoke here at the pulpit. Talk about how he's impacting the world, right? In one tiny nation. But it shows a testament of spreading God's word, right? To the far ends of this earth. He could have easily been here in the United States preaching as a preacher, right? And working in a church. But he felt a calling. His family felt a calling. His children are part of that calling as well. But it was remarkable when I, last week I was downstairs, so I wasn't able to watch it live, but I ended up watching it back and listened to what it takes for him just to get to the tribe. He talked about how he takes a two-hour flight to get to a little grass strip to actually land on a plane. Then he has to walk about 10 minutes till he gets to the river, so to speak. And then it's another three-hour trip on a canoe. I don't know about you, but that's a long trip. That's a lot of gas cans, I would assume, with him, not just his stuff carrying it across. And then he was talking about how sometimes as he's going, right, water will start coming in. He's over there. I just imagine some of the movies and the cartoons where the hole's, you know, spilling with water, and they're trying to push all the water out, right, trying to get the water out of the boat. But it goes back to the video we saw. Do something. You know, he's doing something, even with the limitations he has to do it, right? Because he has to learn the language, and there's multiple languages there in Papua New Guinea. But in that aspect, he is still spreading the gospel, still on fire. And last week, I know at the end, Pastor Cree talked about how we were giving money for the canoe and how much we have raised. And it's a huge testament. What a small church we may be, to put forth so much money for a special offering so he could continue to spread the gospel. That's an applause, right? Because that shows how y'all's mindsets have changed a little bit as well. And when we're looking at this, people often talk about, in different contexts, right, mindset changes. They can have different ways in which you're changing your mindset, whether it's an emotional state or a physical state, whether it's job-related, not job-related. But however, in the military, they teach us a combat mindset. And what does that truly look like in the grand scheme of things? In short, it's to be focused, aware, trained, and ready to tackle what comes in front of you. In essence, that's what I'm talking about, the mission mindset. As the fundamentals are kind of similar when you think about missions. like Jason Cheesdale and Mickey Creed said last week, you don't have to be that missionary, right? You don't have to go to Papua New Guinea. You don't have to go to Ukraine, Romania, as this week's missionaries are that we're praying for. But you can impact directly or indirectly here where you are right now. And many of you have heard the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. And I'm not going to go into the whole story of it. I'm just taking a portion of it. But it points back to that mission mindset. How we can accomplish so much more to do something beyond these church walls. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Acts 8. We'll be in verses 26 through 35. And if you don't have your Bible, there's one like this in the back of the pew. If you turn all the way, I know some of this might be a trigger for some of y'all, but if you turn to page 777, we'll start from there. And I'll be reading from the NIV version. So starting on verse 26 in Acts 8, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian, a eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot. Stay near it.' Then Philip ran to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said. 'Unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from this earth.'" And like I said, there's more to that actual part of scripture. And if you want, you can go back and read it. It's actually a good testament of God's ultimate plan for us and how we become disciples of Christ. But that specific portion I wanted to focus on is that mission mindset. There's a lot to play in those 10 verses, but let's dissect it a little bit in small portions. I want to focus on the first part. The angel gave a command. Now, whether you're versed or not versed in Scripture, we know that God comes to people in different ways, in different forms, right? Directly, indirectly, maybe it be an audible voice, a burning bush, an angel appearing itself. Now, if you're looking throughout the Bible, and you see the word angel, and I think of the word angel, what comes to mind to me is the angel that spoke to Mary, Jesus' mother. The angel that freed the disciples from prison by shaking the prison walls. And so much further, and so much more. But if you look at the Bible itself, like many words, there is a repeating of angel or angels 290 times. That's right, 290 times. 108 in the Old Testament and 102 in the New Testament. It was already prefaced by stating the angel of the Lord. You see, where the angel appears, there's an action that takes place immediately right after. Whether it was the angel telling a person or persons to do something specifically, or the angel taking an action that only the Lord could do. You see, the angel gave precise instructions to Philip. Go south, a dirt road from Jerusalem to Gaza. I don't know how more specific you can be in that point, but I was pretty specific. And as you saw, Philip complied and the angel commanded the action into play. But kind of reminds me, how many times you get in a car, you're ready to go, right? But something tells you the normal way you're supposed to go isn't the normal way you're supposed to go today. And what ends up happening? Something, you know, causes you to deviate. Whether it's helping somebody on the side of the road, maybe you catch up with a friend, or you see God working miraculously in others. God has a plan. We just need to follow it to hear what his plan is for us. Just as the case where Philip, who came across in Ethiopia. Now, back then there was different modes of transportation. Take your two little feet and walk, right? You could easily be one of the people who are sick or ill or lame, who needed help and had to be carried everywhere they went. You could have had an animal. In this case, the Ethiopian had a chariot or even a wagon as a way to get to where you want to be. Now, knowing my audience here, right? I know some of you travel sometimes 20 to 30 minutes to get here, right? To get to church service on a Sunday or Bible study. But I want you to think about that. So the Ethiopian was traveling from Ethiopia, right, to Jerusalem. Now, this might surprise you. They're not very close to each other, right? It's not a hop and a skip over from one country to another. It's actually over 1,500 miles traveling. And that's like more of a direct path. We know back then they didn't have direct paths. They had to take different roads and routes to get to where they wanted to be. But talk about a commitment. He didn't have the technology we have today. He couldn't jump on a plane, hop off in Jerusalem, worship, be back the same day. This is a multi-day trip, several weeks in a lot of cases. But on such a long journey, it's logical he would stop, right? He's in a chariot, something's pulling it, obviously a horse at this point, and a horse needs a rest. He needs a rest. How many people have drove like 17 hours straight without stopping before? I have. It's terrible. Don't do that. Back in my younger days in the military, trying to get home to see family, you make that commitment. Thank God some people were behind me, because 17 hours, you got to get some sleep in, but sometimes it doesn't happen. So you need help guiding you, right? But he has to stop. Now you're thinking, well, why is he stopping on the side of a road? That's random. And that might be random to us, but it's not random to God. Everybody's usually where God wants them in their life, at that point in place. And then we can see the magnitude of such a meeting between two people that normally wouldn't have crossed paths, right? Again, God has that plan, and Philip showed up for it. But I want you to put yourself in Philip's shoes or sandals for a moment. So God commands you to go down a road. And you're traveling but you come across a person on the side of the road. He's just sitting there, what appears to be reading, not in distress. His wheel on his chariot isn't broken off. He doesn't need help. He's just sitting there. Now, that would be nothing out of the ordinary, right? You're like, okay, God's not in distress. I'm going to keep on trucking, right? Getting to where I need to be, where God wants me to be. And we can lose focus of what we're doing, and we can lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing. But this goes to where my first point comes into play. Focused. Philip is focused on traveling in the direction the angel stated. He is focused on the fact that he has been given a command by the angel of the Lord. That there's a reason behind him traveling there at that moment in time. While he may not have fully understood why he had to go at that time, he went anyways. But it's that trust in the Lord, right? That faith. We talked about today in Sunday school when we're talking about a portion of Scripture, somebody brought up the fact of faith. Sometimes we might not know everything that the Scripture is speaking to us about, but we have faith to believe. We have faith to understand it and our fellow Christians to help us understand it. But as Philip did, he trusted in the Lord to guide him in his path and purpose. There are times when God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit to get up and go somewhere, to do something. While we may not fully comprehend the reasoning at that point, it comes to unfold, right? Whether it's talking to your coworker about something that's going on with them. You're like, you know, God wanted me to help them. God wanted me to be there at that time. Now, I do this sometimes a lot. I get so focused on the task, oblivious to everything else around me. I need to get it done. Now, the second point is you need to be aware. Because awareness is where it fully comes into picture. In the military, and some of you can relate, and even if you can't, you understand what I'm talking about. When you're going on a patrol, and what I mean by patrol is usually you're in your military uniform with like 100-pound pack and gear with you. Either traveling, you know, in the woods, having fun, or in an open field, or even on a road, but what they teach you in the military is to have your head on a swivel, to be aware of what's going on around you because a situation can happen at any time that you need to respond to. And that's kind of what we're talking about, being aware. When Philip was on the road running or in walking at times, yes, he was focused on going down this road from Jerusalem to Gaza, but he also had to be aware that God was going to be utilizing them some point along this road. And transitioning to being aware, the fact that the Ethiopian was on the side of the road would have been kind of far-fetched. A man of his stature wouldn't have just like, oh, let me just stop right here, pull over my chariot, because the roads were dangerous back then. People would get robbed, hurt, attacked, whether by people, by animals. So when he actually did it, while it might seem out of place again, it wasn't random. It was God's plan with the Holy Spirit. That's kind of what makes this story special, if you think about it. When two people meet. Now, I kind of talked about it a little bit earlier. You ever just going through something? Like a season? Something's really, really festering. And somebody out of nowhere, out of the blue, just shows up, pours into you, talks to you, speaks to you, helps get you through that time. And at times we might just think, oh, it's a coincidence. But is it really? Is it really, or is it God working through them in you? Sometimes when we're in that season, that struggle, we lose sight of that, right? We lose sight of what's truly unfolding. But going back to Philip, even when he's focused, even when he's starting to be aware, the Spirit comes to him and tells him to go by the man by the chariot. He runs to the chariot. Didn't say he walked. He runs to the chariot. But he hears something familiar. And Philip, like many men during that time, instilled over and over and over and over scripture of the Old Testament. You had to know it. Whether it was taught to you by your father or through scribes or Sadducees and so forth like that, but you had to know it. So as he's running over there, just like if you were to run somewhere, right, into a conversation, at first you can't make it out. But as you're getting closer and closer, what happens? Start to hear it, start to understand it. And then you can be a part of that conversation. You're ready to respond. But let's go back to that verse real quickly. Then Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip said, or asked. And Philip knew what it was. You know, Jesus had already came. He was crucified. He ascended into heaven. So he knew the power of that word in Isaiah 53. Which brings me to my third point. You got to be trained. Not like physically trained, like you're going to run a race, but more educating yourself to intervene spiritually on other people's behalfs. Now, I'm not saying you have to be a scholar in the Bible and know every ins and out of what the Bible means. But you know what it means to you. You have read those words and how it talks to you. And if you know the Bible, at least most of the stories, right? You know, sometimes there's not a name for a person. And you can look past that because there's an important reason why you shouldn't focus on that part. It wasn't because it was just an Ethiopian and that he was an official of the Ethiopian court. It was that everybody's important. Poor, rich, beggar, merchant, farmer, fisherman, diplomat, servant. Because we're all important. God doesn't care what your title is. God cares about each one of us. Child of God. Whether you're young, or as Pastor Creed always says, seasoned. You know, each one of us was created for a purpose, was created to do something more than what we see and what we do at this moment. It doesn't matter how new you are to Scripture or how well versed you are. Each one of you has your own way of sharing that faith. Now, the question that the Ethiopian asks, or he asks the Ethiopian, do you know what you're reading? And do you understand it? Raise your hand if you ever read scripture and you had a similar response. How can I? Or unless someone explains it to me. I think we've all been there, right? I don't know. You go to Revelations. Everybody's hands should be up there. Some of that stuff's hard to digest at times. But it's kind of like what I'm preaching about today in today's sermon. It will touch you each differently because your faith journey is different. Your life experience is different. And how God is speaking to you right now is different. It's different over time. Every time you read scripture, it'll mean something different to you. You gain wiser as the more you read. But like this man in the chariot, God is speaking to us each and every day. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him, as we found in the follow-on verse. That's kind of like the Christian faith, right? You come to a church, get to know people, and help guide you into the faith. No one travels the Christian faith alone. No one should travel it alone by themselves either. And every Sunday morning we have Sunday schools from the youngest elementary age all the way up to adults. But I kind of like what Pastor Creed does in his class. He asks three questions, and they're pretty pointed questions. What does it say about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? First question. What does it say about mankind? Second question. The third question is, what does it speak to you? How does it speak to you? What are you getting out of it? Third question. But if you do it that way, you kind of get back at the root of Scripture. It's not all these things like, well, you know the old saying, right? It's always been this way, or, you know, this is how it was back then. You actually see how it unfolds, because Scripture never changes. We change. And as I can imagine what unfolded between those two gentlemen, because they don't really speak too much about it on their conversation of Philip explaining the actual Scripture to them, it draws me to 1 Peter 3:15, which states, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. As be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Which brings me to my fourth point, ready. Ready to get in the trenches. You don't have to be a theologian or apologetics type of person, but as I said previously, each one of you has your own salvation story. That's something true to you. No one can ever discount that. But your salvation story is similar to hundreds of other people. It might not be exactly the same exact way, but there's similarities. And that's how you're relating to other people. That's how you're showing that God and Christ have come into your life and changed it around. How Christ calmed the storm when the boat was rocking. That's what he does with us each and every day. If we so let it happen. But you must be willing to do it. Are you willing to do it? Is the question. Are you willing to share the gospel with the person that's pumping the gas? The person in the aisle at the grocery store? Or just a perfect stranger? I told this to a couple of people previously. I remember when we had VBS back in July, I had to get my supplies. Poor thinking on my behalf, I thought somebody was going to give me some stuff. But when I went to the Dollar Tree off Route 17, not really important the location, but to give you context, I was there getting the stuff I wanted to do for VBS because I was teaching mission stories. Now, ironic, I'm teaching y'all again on missions. But when I was there, I was going through my stuff, and yes, I was focused, but I was aware. I heard a younger gentleman, probably in his 20s, talking to his friend on the phone. His friend's father had been drinking and had did something. And as the guy was pouring into him, and I was just listening, still getting what I needed to get, but actively listening, I was hearing him say, "That's not your father. That's something else. You need to forgive him for what happened." And that would be a great story, right? But like with everything, you got to keep on finding stuff in Dollar Tree. So I had to go a couple aisles down. And there was this older lady, and there's this a lady a little bit younger than she was. And they were talking about churches because she needed to find a church home. And they were talking about different faiths and stuff like that. And the lady offered, she was like, "Why don't you just check out my church? I know you're not sure what denomination you are right now, but you're more than welcome to come." And again, that would be great just to end right there on the highlight, right? Then, still walking through the store, these two older ladies were not even friends at all, just happened to be shopping in the same area, and they saw the same thing. There's open drinks and open food throughout some of the aisles. And they were talking about, they're like, "Why would somebody do this? Like, why would somebody pretty much steal and take food and just leave it there? If you're going to take it, just take it," is what they were saying. But as they were talking about it, it hit the lady, one of them. She's like, "You know what? We don't know what's going on with them. We don't know what circumstance led them to do that. That could be the only food and drink they have that day to survive." And it, using those examples, it shows the hope that we can have in people to relate to other people, to find out how God is working in other people. And I'll be honest, I could have stepped in. And like, "Oh, let me, I'm a pastor, you know, let me talk to you a little bit about this." But I chose not to. God was already working at that point. I let God does what he does best. Show the things that can happen and can be magnified through him. And that's kind of what God did in this scripture. As Philip was more than ready to talk to him about Isaiah 53, explain in verse 32, 33 what it truly meant about sin and what that cost would be in the end. But I'll be honest with you. Sin will cause a deep divide between you and God. But it doesn't have to be everlasting. It can be like a blimp. And though when they were talking on in the follow-on verses and the prophet was mentioned, he shared that good news of God and Jesus. Jesus, the same Jesus that comes to take away the sins of the world, so that we could be connected back to God. So we have a bridge that can never be torn down. But Philip was beyond ready, because he had that mission mindset we've been talking about, right? He was focused. He was aware. He was trained. and he was ready. Sometimes we need to remember that ourselves. Even what's going on in our lives, that we are ready. We have been trained. We are aware and we are focused. But it's that mindset change. That's the hardest thing, right? You have to change your mindset of what you thought originally to make it work to where it needs to be. But if you are focused on the tasks, but aware of your surroundings and trained in the ways of the Lord, you'll be more than willing to share the gospel with others. And the fact is, we're always on mission for God, whether we are ready or not. You know what's unique about what God does in our lives each and every day? Even if we miss the opportunity, what does God do? Oh, you missed that one. Don't worry. I got you. I'll give you another opportunity. Or, several years later, he'll bring you back to square one. Give you opportunity to step up into that place to help spread the gospel. A chance to right someone's ship to help them navigate back to shore, which is kind of like a metaphor. A person navigating back to God, where they always were supposed to be. The will of God will not take you where the grace of God will not protect you. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future." So going back to those last few verses, Philip articulated that about Jesus. Later, if you read what happens after those verses as they travel together, you'll see the full magnitude of that one interaction between two people on the road. And as I close, I talked about what makes up a mission mindset. And maybe that caused you to reflect on your own mindset and what's happening around you each and every day. It's easy to comment on social media posts about something negative happening. It's just as easy to step into the fray and prevent it from happening in the first place. You know, going back to the video that we played, if we would just intercede in people's lives, you wouldn't have people drinking 7 drinks and then decide to get in their car, turn the engine, and take off. Next thing you know, you hear about on the news how there was a DUI and somebody got killed. If we were willing to step into it, we can save so many people, like the woman who is usually bubbly, full of life, but decides to wear long sleeves and heavy makeup in 90-degree weather when it's not normal to cover the bruises. If we stepped into the fray, when the child we go to pat on the back shrieks in fright, because they're part of an abusive household. If we step into the fray, the person that's maybe thinking about suicide or putting another needle in their arm won't lose their life that day. And there's so many examples I can give you here just in this county, in this state of people struggling. They just need somebody to intercede. But you know what they all need, truly? You know what true love is in all those cases. The true love of Jesus and God. and what eternal life really truly means. That their struggles in this world isn't permanent. That is the hope in the future I speak of, beyond these walls. And that shows even more recently with us helping to get that canoe, right? Spreading that gospel to the far ends of the world through someone else. But are you willing to put it on the line to help one more person? Just one more. It just takes one to change another. And I talked to you previously, you don't know the impact a person might have to God until it unfolds. You think that Sunday school teacher I talked about in the last sermon knew who D.L. Moody would be in the end. He just knew that he needed Christ. D.L. Moody helped save thousands through different forms, through his university, through his preaching. Same thing could be said about Charles Spurgeon and Annie Armstrong. They were brought to Christ, and the impact that they have had goes beyond their death. And I'm not saying every person's going to be them, but they are special. They are needed by God. And what if that one person helps the next person become a missionary, a preacher? But you have to turn into that mindset. And don't be afraid or worried, as God will give you the words to speak each and every day. So, I ask you to change your mindset to a mission mindset. Using those 4 points I talked about. Focused, aware, trained, ready to tackle what comes at you. Let the Lord lead you to others. To have a better and brighter future for tomorrow. Filled with his love and appreciation that he has entrusted us with. So are you mission ready? Mission focused? Now we come to the invitation in prayer. And I thought about this, about this sermon, over the last couple of days, and how I was going to present it. The way I presented it isn't how I wrote it. But that's, again, God speaking to us differently. God telling us this is the way you should do it. It's not my words all the time. It's God's words. I just put it on paper. Just like Moses put it on tablets. I'm not comparing myself to Moses, obviously. But God talks to us. God wants us to do so much more. And he has seen it done in this church for over 200 years. There's a reason why those doors stay open each every single year. There's a reason why new people come into this church and don't ever leave. It's not because this church has all this fancy stuff. It's because of people. The people are the church. You're the church. You're the mission. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I know at times we can lose sight of what you want us to do, lose sight of how you want us to reach others. Sometimes we don't lose sight of that. Sometimes we're all in, on fire for you, Lord. And we might not see the immediate outcome. But as we pray, as we help others, we see the impacts over time that build on top of each other over and over and over. They are a testament to your glory, to your power to work in the people. Maybe somebody watching online, Lord, or somebody here, maybe they're going through something. Maybe they're going through something and they don't want to talk about it. Maybe they're going through something and it's a burden on their heart, Lord. And if that's so, Lord, I pray for them. I pray that you ease their burdened hearts to get the help that they need, to get the assistance they need. But also, to know that even in those struggles, even in those times of trouble, it's not permanent. The only thing that's permanent is you, Lord, and your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray for everyone here, Lord, that you continue to watch over them. Watch those watching online, Lord. Those are private prayers. Those are public prayers on our prayer list, Lord. Please help them with their many, many battles, whether it's health-related, physical ailments, or just wanting to be closer to you. And as we go out today, Lord, let us have that mindset change to be more focused on what you have for us, more aware of things around us, using what you have taught us already to be trained in your word and be ready. Be ready to give that testimony, to give that advice, to help others know. I thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed on everyone here and on this church. In Jesus' holy name we pray. All God's people said, amen.